Today on the Cooligans, we had some Carabao Cup action. Ooh. Pochettino going to London
for zero
for no real reason. And we'll talk about Trindy Rodman on Call Her Daddy.
Wow.
Okay, our favorite podcast. Next, after the Cooligans podcast.
Of course. And also, we talked to Carling Jackson, the athlete artist. It's absolutely incredible. She's a great artist. She's got some cool stories. We get to know her a little bit. That and more today on the
Cooligans.
Remember that, guys?
So my wife was on a trip over the weekend, last weekend. She went to go visit her.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
She went to visit her friend in Cincinnati. She had never been to Cincinnati
before. She took a trip to Cincinnati?
Exactly.
There's got to be a good friend. No disrespect to Cincinnati.
You know, it's a nice holiday out in.
You know what, though? I think being your guys are mom and dad to a young child,
mm-hmm.
but just about 2 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is probably great. It doesn't matter where it is. Cincinnati.
She's sure, like, you know sure. what? Yeah,
a
yeah.
break. She, a break from the baby.
She deserves a break fair. For sure. But so she went to Cincinnati and she's going around. You know, we've been to Cincinnati before. But I went. I was doing a bike ride through Ohio.
And when we performed for the World Cup Comedy Tour.
Yeah, exactly. So, So I was just like sort of mentioning certain places that I remember going. I mean, there's a great like bridge between Cincinnati and Kentucky, and it's right where the Cincinnati Reds play. I was like, cross that bridge, it's really cool. Like, it's a nice little walk and all that stuff. But one of the things she told me that she did that I didn't expect, because my wife is a nutritionist, she had Skyline Chili.
This is a woman who refuses to put poison in her body.
So I was just like, what? I wasn't even going to even think to suggest.
She didn't just go to Skyline Chili. She had
Skyline Chili. So,
bro, she don't eat like non-organic free range bread. This woman eats sprouts on the regular. And she saw Skyline Chili and said, I want to give it all up for this.
She's going to live to 155. Okay?
100%. Or with like the rest of us now after putting the Skyline Chili in her.
So
what was the review?
So I haven't had Skyline Chili, but I always, you know, we've had Skyline Chili has come up on the show plenty of times. We have the legendary Rose Lavelle clip where she nearly punched you after.
She really did want to fight me.
She was going to fight you for speaking badly about Skyline Chili.
Or honestly, whatever you want to call
it. Right. And then so she told me, I went to Skyline Chili. I'm like, oh, it must have been gross, right? Because I'm only hearing negative things, except from people from Cincinnati. And she said, no, it's pretty good. I
want to remind everyone, this woman eats sprouts on the regular. I think this is the first time she's just tried preservatives. And you know what I mean? Like, I think she just isn't used to it.
I don't know why. I haven't confirmed what she exactly had.
Yeah, because if she had like the Caesar salad,
that doesn't count, right?
I will flip this table. That is not fair.
I think.
Can you text her and say what did you eat?
At
some point in this episode, we need to reveal this order because this is not fair.
Okay, let me ask her.
She's not the kind to take pictures of her food, right?
Not sometimes. It depends on where. I can't imagine she took food.
Was she schmizz? Was she a little drunk?
No. This was like she just went with her friend.
About Skyline Chili, if you're watching and you don't know what it is, they're known for a chili, like an American style chili, scooped on top of pasta, just spaghetti. And then there's like five ways where it's like onions, beans, cheese. Like you could have a four way, a three way, an eight way. There's a crazy. But they're also known for a chili dog.
Yes. Yeah.
A Coney, as they call it, from Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she's a hot dog person.
I don't think that's what
she's going to put nondescript beef.
I'm pretty sure she had some pasta, and I don't know exactly what was on it.
Imagine she's like, I had an eight way. They put Doritos on it. I'm like, and Sour Patch Kids.
Who did I marry?
What happened in Cincinnati?
But I just wanted to mention that. So we'll get confirmation.
I think it surprised you more that she said Skyline Chili versus I'm leaving you for another family.
100%. I'm starting anew in Cincinnati.
You'd be like, all right, makes sense. I could be annoying sometimes. Best of luck out there.
The Skyline stuff is a shock.
Yeah.
You know, honestly devastating, to be honest.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to try to be funny in Christian's moment of need here.
So she's probably working, but she'll, I'm sure she'll get
respond.
To
we'll get back
at some
to you.
Point.
Stick around. We got a little tease for the rest of the episode. Huh?
So, as always, welcome to the Cooligans. Episode right before our last episode before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
So thank you for joining us.
And you know what I'm going to say when I open up my gifts on Christmas?
All right. Thanks, Yahoo, for another sweatshirt.
Yeah. Wow. Ooh, itchier than before.
I'm still waiting for my Yahoo merch.
Yeah, we got to get Yahoo merch.
Yeah, I put it in the Slack, Carter. Somebody stay on top of this, bro.
Bro, make a Yahoo soccer kit.
We got one football merch, so they got that taken care of.
Yeah, I want Yahoo Sports. I want something that says Yahoo Sports on it.
Come on, I was asking for too much.
No, I don't think so.
So, welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Yeah, we have a fun show today. We're going to be joined in a little bit by an incredible guest, Carleen Jackson,
who
is an artist that does incredible art.
The
pieces.
Athlete artist.
The athlete artist. That is her moniker, her name or whatever. Talking about what is it like to, sort of combine art in the football world. And
it's cool to see other art. Like, as comedians, there's some things for us that we're like, nah, that's not how you should be doing it. And we asked her about one piece of art, some type of technique. She's like, nah, that's hack. I don't do that. I was like, oh, they just like us, bro.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's something, you know, there's a, if you are a true artist or even
artisan,
a master of your craft, you're gonna start having opinions on the phonies, the hacks that are coming into you.
Kind of like how your lady's gonna be like, this isn't the right chili on pasta.
It's just like, okay.
I've been to the mountaintop.
So we'll talk to her in a little bit, but first let's start with
talk a little Carabao Cup.
Carabao.
Gotta do a Carajo Cup.
Carajo Cup would be just all the Caribbean clubs getting involved.
Or should we create an energy drink called Carajo?
Carajo. Why not?
I mean, who's with the Carajo? The ad is right there, bro.
Okay. It sells itself.
Yeah.
So many people constantly repeat the brand.
Obviously, I was very excited because of the Arsenal result, right?
Yes, Arsenal played against Crystal Palace at the Emirates.
Yeah, a big win 3-2. It was the result doesn't really dictate what happened. Crystal Palace goes up early. Mateta bullies Kvyat for a goal very early in the match, I think, in the fourth
minute.
Kind
of a silly mistake from Kvyat there.
He tried to head the ball and missed it. You never let the ball bounce. So anyway, it was a long ball. And then after that, especially in the second half, Arsenal bring in the big dogs. They bring in Odegaard. I believe they bring in Saka at the same time, Saliba. And then they took off from there.
I mean, yeah, you look at the momentum chart here that we're looking at, and it's like, oh, were they playing against anybody?
Yeah.
And yeah, Crystal Palace showed up when they needed to,
right?
But they didn't really have much possession. But
Eddie Nketiah scores at the end, a beautiful header. If you did it a couple months ago, maybe you'd still be wearing an Arsenal shirt. And then that's pretty much it. It stayed 3-2. It wasn't as sticky.
Yeah.
And you could see from the tail of the
team. The hat trick is really the...
That's the thing we got to talk about.
Is
a hat trick has been scored by an Arsenal striker.
Never thought in my lifetime, I didn't think I would. When was the last time an Arsenal striker or any Arsenal player got a hat trick? I can't even remember.
That's a great question. There's been
like
there's been a couple big wins. It was like a couple 6-0s, a couple 4-0s, 5-0s, maybe somewhere in there. Yeah, no
Saka's hatties. Never gotten one for Arsenal, right? That I saw him talking about that.
I wonder, that's a great question. Maybe Carter can look it up. But I think the real question is jokes have been talked, right? So many people, they got a set because they need an open play coach because they're not scoring goals from open plays. You know, a little bit of a warranted statement, though, because if you watch an Arsenal match, you're almost more excited for the corners than you are for open play because they've just been so listless in front of goal.
Yeah.
And everyone's pointing, you don't have a number nine. You don't have a number nine. You don't have a number nine. You need a striker. You don't have a striker. Is Gabriel Jesus the right option for striker? Or is this a red herring? You score three and everyone all of a sudden believes in you. But we've seen this before. He's had many chances.
I mean, for me, it's like if it's a Premier League game, I'm probably a little bit more excited about it. I don't know. Just the nature of the Carabao Cup match.
Knowing Crystal Palace put out a full squad, though, best squad.
There's something. But also, Arsenal didn't have that sort of full squad until kind of the second half. You know, it's not the... whether that's like a biased sort of opinion because I'm looking at this particular cup competition as like maybe less competitive, maybe the players aren't taking it as seriously. I don't know, dude.
It's a knockout competition. You lose and you go home. So maybe there's a bit more intensity there.
Yeah. My only frustration.
I get where you're coming from, because you're like, it's not the Premier League.
My frustration, or is that frustration not the right word, but the offside. His third goal, let's not do this.
There's no VAR.
I mean, there's no VAR
in this competition. So why would we referee this match? Don't even pull this photo up. I don't understand why you're doing this.
So I mean, we're looking at the moment where it was Odegaard that makes this pass.
Yeah,
I forgot exactly who it was, but
no, I think this Saka just goes right through. Yeah, you see the ball. Saka's feet.
And sending it to Gabriel Jesus, who is, I mean, okay, we're looking at.
Do you remember? Was it last year or the year before when it was Coventry City versus Manchester United and Haji Wright's legitimate toenail is over the line and they call it offside on the goal that would have sent Coventry City through?
Yes.
And not Manchester United. That's kind of what we're looking at here. If the ref don't catch it, look at the ref right there.
I'll say this.
That flag is as down as it gets, my friend.
The ref is perfectly in line. He is looking at Gabriel Jesus in the eyes.
Yeah.
He's clearly, I mean, you can.
He's actually saying, I got you.
I want to see more goals. Yeah. That's the problem with this league and this sport. We're not seeing enough goals.
You getting a hattie today is what he said to him. I was very shocked.
He mouthed it to him. And Gabriel Jesus knew.
Yeah.
This is so egregiously offside.
And that's not egregiously offside.
This is, I mean.
No, because look at the, hold on. If we're going to do this, let's do it right.
Yeah.
Look at the defender's knee. The end of the knee is where you have to go because it's any part where you could score a goal with, right?
Right.
For Gabriel Jesus. So we're talking just the shoulder. That's pretty in line. Maybe he is offside for sure, but not egregiously offside.
The ref cannot see that last defender, but that is behind Jesus.
There's also the defender above him whose foot is all the way in the back. He's doing a stanky leg.
I'm looking at it, and maybe in real time, obviously the game is very fast. These players are moving around, all back and forth. I can understand why.
Who are we to dictate what the refs are like? Imperious, bro. They don't make mistakes in this competition.
I've always said, bring David Coop back.
Yeah,
he did nothing wrong.
Speaking of making lines,
I'm not trying to be a hater. I'm honestly not. I'm just saying there's part of me that is like this feels like a bygone era where we're like, oh man, they made a mistake and it's still a goal. And it's like, all right.
It's kind of garbage. I prefer VAR. Were you about to say something?
Before you guys get to Jesus, the last time Arsenal scored a hat trick was in October of 2023. You will never guess who the player is.
Can I guess?
Yeah.
Give me three chances.
Okay.
Eddie Nketiah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had
full circle. Eddie Nketiah is the last, or before last night was the last.
Got rid of him.
Damn.
All right.
Couldn't hack
so,
it. By the way, also proves my point that maybe Gabriel Jesus isn't the guy, but we'll talk about that in a second.
So I'm not trying to be a hater here, but it's, The hat trick feels a little tainted. That's
no,
all.
No, I mean, you're being a hater.
Happy for
the guy's wearing an Everton shirt, folks. You can't trust them.
But more than anything, it's like him getting the hat trick overall, happy for him. Does this move the needle of like, all right, yeah, he should be considered
the main striker, the number nine?
And because he did this in a Carabao Cup match, I can't.
Forget the Carabao Cup. Gabriel Jesus has had multiple years now to impress and hasn't done it.
Mm-hmm.
He's been inconsistent at best. After the game, he said, I know the fans get on me for not scoring goals, but this season's been different. I've been asked to be more of a left back at times and defend and to track back. And I've tried to help the team in other ways. I want to score as many goals as you do. If you score 10 one year, the next year they want 20 and the next year they want 30.
Yeah.
I'm quoting him when I say these things. I get where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, we've seen you as a nine. And it's not good enough. You know what I mean? So is Arsenal going to go out and spend money on a nine, which they desperately need in this transfer window? I don't think they're going to. So as much as I think Gabriel Jesus is not the nine to go forward with, doesn't rid you of the need to go out and buy a nine, I know Arsenal aren't going to go out and buy a nine unless someone falls on their lap. I honestly think a loan for Marcus Rashford is possible. I think a loan for Marcus Rashford, where they cover a portion of that salary and get that off the books for Manchester United, which I don't know if you saw, Sir Jim Ratcliffe just took away the bonus, the match day bonus for the stewards. they don't get £100 anymore as for like an attendance fee. Now they only make their salary. I mean, this guy's literally cutting everyone. He's ripping sandwiches out of kids' mouths. Who gave you that sandwich, bro?
That's not in the budget.
Yeah. In fact, we're going to sell the rest of this sandwich. I think in order to get him off the books and get that trouble away from Ruben Amorim's new project, they might be willing to loan him out to Arsenal. I don't think Arsenal is going by. I think they'll take a loan. And I don't think Gabriel Jesus is the right choice because we've seen it before.
I saw a rumor. Don't know how valid it is or how credible.
Who cares, bro? Let's talk about it.
A swap and money sent to Juve. Jesus and money sent to Juve for Vlahovic.
I saw the same.
Yeah.
Sure, Vlahovic is very hot, very cold. Right? And that's a little different. He also just tried to fight all of the Juve fans and then apologized for it like moments later. Very toxic ex-girlfriend activities. But I could see that there being a gap there. But I don't know if you remember when Vlahovic went from Fiorentina
to Juve.
Juve. They used Arsenal as a way to get more money from Juve. And he said no to Arsenal because his dream was to play Juve. I don't know if that's the guy you now want to bring to Arsenal.
Okay.
Like, if I were Everton, I'd say, who cares if you hate us? Get in here.
Honestly, if you use that hatred to help with the fuel of...
You really want to get out of here? This is some jail shit for Everton. You really want to get out of this shirt? Okay. You better go out there and score some goals. Okay. You better keep us up in this league.
You better work for that transfer. talking point, I think, from this game was obviously Crystal Palace with the lead, obviously didn't end up winning. But we all expected, I was watching Morning Footy and hearing how all you guys were excited to see that Mauricio Pochettino was going to go watch this game.
We did a whole segment on Matt Turner.
Because they're going to go see Matt Turner and possibly Chris Richards get some minutes because, you know, there aren't many minutes available.
Bro, Mauricio Pochettino and the goalkeeping coach for the U.S. men's national team, which he brought with him, went to this game. Now, what does that tell you? Matt Turner going to get a start between them sticks.
Psych. They were just like, look, I need to go see England's backup goalkeeper. Yeah. See what he's up to.
You know, he was like, yo, I want to go sit behind Carl Jenkinson and Philip Seymour Hoffman's ghost.
We're looking at a photo.
If you're listening, you got to watch the show on YouTube.
Pochettino is looking pretty miserable. Yeah. It's one of those things where like,
you know what this reminds me of? Look at the face of him and the goalkeeper coach. They're both like, what the hell's going on here? Mm-hmm. Have you ever been hooked up with, like, your girl wants to go on a double date with her friend and you've never met that friend's husband or boyfriend?
Yeah, that's happened.
And you go, and they are horrific human beings. And you have nothing in common with them. And you see your girl get along with her girlfriend. And now you got to find a way to bond with this guy. Mm-hmm. This is the look I have on my face when that happened. When I'm like, all this guy's talking about is crypto. Man.
Right. There's something. If you're a national team coach, especially if you're maybe specifically Mauricio Pochettino. I mean, who's the manager at Crystal Palace?
Ollie Glasner.
Pochettino. Send a text like, yo, he's starting? Like, you're going to, don't make me waste my time.
You're supposed to have an open line of communication with the managers of your players.
Right.
Did something happen in warm-up?
What is it?
Why am I here?
Why is Matt Turner not playing in this game? It's crazy. But again, credit to Dean Henderson. He made some unbelievable saves. Especially
do you think
first
the result would have been that much different if Matt Turner was in goal?
My honest answer is probably yes.
Oh, do you think they
would've... that much? I mean, maybe it might have been four.
Okay, then nothing happened. You should have let my guy play.
Matt Turner. I don't know if this is a sign that Matt Turner is not playing in this game. This is a.
It feels like it.
Yeah, this is not a great. A great signal. You're just a great sign in general, especially with the national team coach being there.
I just feel more and more
play under friggin' Mourinho. Whatever.
We go to Fenerbahce, bro.
This is kind of crazy. So I don't know what is the deal with Matt Turner at Crystal Palace, but again, it doesn't fare well for the upcoming World Cup for the U.S. men's national team. If it's effectively none of our goalkeepers are either starting or playing in a, at a very, very high level. So what else is the oh, what was the other thing? Oh, yeah, well, Rashford. We didn't talk
about
him.
Oh, yeah. We mentioned him a little bit where I think he's going to go on loan to Arsenal. But I guess the question becomes, right? So he was left off. Him and Garnacho were left off the last match, the derby, where they win. So that makes things a little sticky.
Yes.
Right? Like if you leave me off a squad, you know what I mean? And then you lose, yeah, looks like you need me. Yeah. But if, yo, they go out and win, you're like, oh, they might not need me, bro. I kind of lost all leverage there.
Rashford did a interview with...
After that, he did an interview with Michael Lewis, was the name?
Henry Winter.
That's
Henry,
right.
Henry Winter is the American.
Yeah, I couldn't remember. Henry Winter, though. Makes it sounds made up. Where he basically said, like, I'm ready for a new challenge and I'll hold no ill will. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll keep Manchester in my heart. But those are the sounds and those are the comments of someone who's ready to move on from the situation.
Yeah.
There are rumors of lack of professionalism. He said, I do feel misunderstood, but I'm fine with it. I'm a very simple person. I love football. That's been my life from the beginning. So it feels like I think the same thing happened with Sancho during Eric Ten Hag. It's like, well, I want to say what's happening to me from my perspective.
Yeah.
But I think Ruben Amorim handled it well. He was asked about the new challenges comment, and he goes, "Yeah, this is a new challenge.
Yeah,
and there's no better new challenge than Manchester United."
You got to give credit to Ruben Amorim. He navigates handling the media very well. He doesn't give anybody any big quote that will, like a Ten Hag style quote that will call everything into question or might throw players under the bus or whatever. He holds people accountable without humiliating anybody and leaving Garnacho and Rashford.
He's also not like lacking self-awareness of like, this is the greatest team that's ever played. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's being very transparent. I think the Rashford, you know, some of the comment, I don't have the quotes in front of me specifically, but he says something along the lines like, you will never hear me speaking negatively about Manchester United. And you can just tell this dude is just,
he's done.
Bleeds red. And
But he's also done with the project, and I kind of respect that, but the question becomes where can he go, right? I know Manchester United are pretty desperate to get money off the books, but where do you send a player? Like, you're not gonna, there was a time where Marcus Rashford was a well over $100 million player. You're not gonna get that in January, even though teams are sometimes desperate for a striker. You're not gonna get that, right? Think of the teams you could go to. Real Madrid, there's already too many forwards there, right?
Yeah.
Barcelona, they can't even register Dani Olmo. They have to find a way to raise 60 million euros or pounds, whatever that number is, in order just to register one of their players they already have past January. So they're certainly not gonna bring in another player. Unless they get him on a complete free, like no salary cover, no nothing. Maybe, and they don't have to pay a loan fee, right? Liverpool don't need him, right? And you're certainly probably not going to send him to a rival like City or Liverpool. Real Madrid, Barcelona don't need him. There's really no other team in La Liga. Atletico
PSG
Madrid
is the name that comes up.
Atletico Madrid's already balling. PSG maybe, but PSG has made this promise to go for like young French players. You got a 27-year-old British guy. That's not necessarily. I could see maybe that happening, but they've made that promise to go younger. That doesn't feel right. Bayern doesn't feel right. They've already got a lot of forwards. They don't need another one. I can't really think of anyone besides him going to Saudi or taking that loan move to Arsenal.
Get ready to learn MLS, Rashford.
Oh, damn. You a damn player, bro.
Why don't you try that, dog?
Wait till you hear about that. Have you had Skyline Show? I think it's a real question.
Yeah, no response yet. We'll get that. We'll figure that out. Anyway, I wonder. I don't necessarily think about where he's going to end up as much as like maybe what it means. Watching Manchester United fans come to terms with, you know, Rashford's been at the club how long? So, I
mean, 2 decades.
Yeah,
so this is his little kid.
A little baby. You know, I remember he got his first start, what, like 16, 2016, 2017, something like that.
Yeah, it was. I know.
After we started the show.
Was it like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
No,
it was under Louis van Gaal. It was 2015.
2015, yeah. So I remember when he made his debut and everything. So to me, especially essentially the last 10 years almost, he is a true representation. I mean, is he on like the Mount Rushmore of Manchester United? Probably not, but he's like, when I think of Manchester United, I think of the Nevilles. I think of David Beckham. Mm-hmm. And Rashford arguably is kind of like there as well. He hasn't, he never won the league with United. Yes, he didn't complete like some of the things, but as far as just a a player that has just stood with the team, who's just always been there.
Yeah, and like inspired the nation at times.
100%.
You know, and he's taken a lot of racial abuse, especially after like the Euros final and whatnot. So, I mean, he's been through so many ups and downs, and it feels weird that this is the way that project is ending. But it also feels like maybe it's the right move for both parties.
Like, I think so, too. Yeah. Like, so his comments, I think, show a level of not only maturity, but even from a PR standpoint of like, I'm going to. You know, and now we know he didn't travel with the team. Right.
There's a potential
today.
Because he was doing, so where he did that interview, he was doing something with like a school of children. There was something like a children's event. It's possible that because he was there and not in Stockport where the Manchester United left, the train left, that maybe he's taking a different train. That's possible. But it feels like if he didn't travel with the team, that's probably on purpose.
Yeah, I would assume so. But at this point, so it seems like it's going to be a healthy breakup, which after seeing what happened to Sancho and what happens to so many other Manchester United players, it's like kind of refreshing. And I think
I get that. That's not a bad point.
So credit to him wherever he ends
up. But somehow Antony is still there. Crazy.
My man's a legend. All right.
Crazy.
So right before we get to our conversation with Carling, I just want to mention this as well. I don't know if you saw I don't know if you tune in to call her daddy, okay?
Big fan.
Okay, because it's my go-to. I tuned in to watch Trinity Rodman do her interview on Call Her Daddy,
it's a monolith.
It's a tremendous, very, very popular podcast.
Is it like the women's Joe Rogan?
That's, I guess.
Yeah, it might be.
I mean, Kamala Harris was on the show.
Yeah, so I guess yes.
Or whatever. I've always said we should be the Alexi Lalas for the left.
Yeah.
I'd say we could be that.
Wow.
I love how both Alexis and Carter absolutely cringed at that description. So,
shouts to Alexi. It's very hard to explain to people. He's nice in person. We don't want to be that. We don't want to be anything near that on the show.
That's right. We're nice on air, but we're mean in person.
Yeah, we're real pricks. Especially Carter. You get no access to us when he's around.
Trudy Rodman was on Call Her Daddy. I watched the whole interview. I thought it was fantastic. And with all due respect to the host of Call Her Daddy,
who used to play soccer. She was apparently a big deal in college.
Right.
Yeah.
But I was watching it and I was like, yo, Trinity Rodman should be hosting Call Her Daddy, bro. She'd be great. She was so good.
She is good.
She was so vulnerable and honest. And, she talked about Dennis Rodman and everybody's pulling a lot of quotes.
Or her and I could start a podcast called Don't Call Me Daddy. You know?
That's right.
So we can avoid our fathers. I'll start one called Who's My Daddy?
Or we can all do a podcast together that says Daddy Can't Call Me Because He Died.
Yeah. Not yet, but we're waiting patiently.
So we're all figuring, we're still coming up with a name.
If I ever pop a bottle of champagne on the show, that's the day my dad died.
I bonded with Trinity Rodman even more because we all have such severe daddy issues.
The same emotional baggage.
But hearing her talk about Dennis Rodman and there was a lot of specifics in general just about their parents got divorced. He was, not really providing child support. They were in very difficult financial situations, living out of a car, living in a motel. And when you think of the child of an NBA player, you're just like, how can they even be in that scenario at all? But that's apparently like they were in those situations from time to time.
Yeah.
And just hearing about sort of like Dennis Rodman's irresponsibility or recklessness, partying too much, drinking too much, with children,
nothing surprising, but you never think about. I said this on Morning Footy, like, you know, we as fans of the sport, you sometimes revere these athletes for being kind of crazy and partying, and the next day they can find a way to perform and play in a playoff game, like in the Last Dance show. But you don't think about what damage that's doing to the people that are waiting for them at home.
And
you were never getting like a real view, right? It was because of Trinity Rodman's celebrity, because she's so good at the sport that she put her time and effort in that allows her the platform to talk about this. And now we're learning about someone that we revered at one point.
Yeah. And we did interview her. In 2021.
Bro, that's right.
Some people may remember.
This was an episode called Christian Still Had a Daddy.
This was back,
so a while back.
Back then, you know, you can see how sad my face is.
Also, shouts to barbers that closed during COVID for me.
But this was, we asked about her dad. And they said, just to give some, just to preface this, before we interviewed her, this is before she ever played a game for the Washington Spirit. She had just gotten drafted.
Yep.
The Spirit, this is like, you know, nobody's, this is before the this is after the NWSL Challenge Cup. And So this is after the draft and stuff like that. But, so we hadn't seen her play, but we got the opportunity to interview her. And obviously, they sort of told us like, hey, she doesn't really like talking about her dad. But it was like, we cannot talk about her dad at all.
We understood how to ask about her father. Exactly. Let's just say that.
And so this is us talking about her and her dad.
Okay. Most people's parents, like, you know, I grew up without a father, but my mom, I wouldn't say she was cool. You know what I mean? Like, your dad has like a different, was he corny to you at some point? Were you like, do you dress different just because you're like, if God forbid I wear something bedazzled, they're going to say like, I'm like my father. You know what I mean?
He was a weirdo, yeah. I don't know. My style and everything's pretty, like, chill for the most part. I'm not afraid to, like, wear a bunch of, like, weird stuff, but I'm just, like, pretty chill for the most part. I think as I get older, I'll find more of, like, my own style and, like...
All right, sure. I played that for too long, but... So she was able to joke around about...
She didn't get shocked or rocked by us talking about
it. Because I mean, and I highly recommend go checking out the Call Her Daddy podcast, and because it's
anger that I haven't really been able to let out is like difficult for me.
I think a lot of people would assume because you're Dennis Rodman's daughter, money wasn't an issue for you growing up.
We had an expedition and we kind of lived in that for a little bit. We tried to live with him, but he's having parties 24/7. He's bringing random in. He loves the spotlight. He loves the cameras.
So the tone is very different from our show. This is the reason I play that.
Okay.
And that is it.
Bro, why didn't we get this answer? No. shouts to Trinity Rodman for growing into the kind of person who can have this conversation on camera, because that's huge.
Because it's not, and she is 22 years old. And the reason I talk about this is because it her talking about Dennis Rodman and all the issues that she kind of had, it reminded me of experiences with my father and being, again, partying too much and just not acting their age, being irresponsible.
Like, she talks about how her father showed up to one of her playoff games.
In 2021.
And, you know, they made a big deal of it because it's Dennis Rodman. The club didn't know, but she was not expecting that. And it kind of rocked her.
Yeah, yeah.
And it maybe threw her off in her game a little bit. And she kind of hugged him and crying, but not because she was happy to see it. And then they marketed it as like a daddy-daughter
thing,
moment. But my father was not invited to my wedding and just showed up.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Oh, I didn't know that.
You didn't remember I told you the story? My friend tried to fight him.
I don't remember that. No.
Yeah,
no.
One of my friends from Newark, shouts to friends from Newark, walked up to him and goes, hey, Alexis turned out pretty well. My father was like, yeah, he did. And he goes, yeah, no thanks to you. And he had to be separated from I was like, I don't fight my dad. shouts to Nork friends, though. Bro.
So just a shout out to Trinity Rodman, because it was.
What I mean is, you talk about bringing up like PTSD or whatever. That must have been very difficult for her to like reveal. And you know, she also says like the reason they haven't talked about it is because they've kind of covered for him.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to paint him as a bad guy. Think about that duality of that, of like, you hurt me, but I don't want people to think you hurt me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like it's a challenge of like, you know, if you criticize your own father, it's not just criticizing your father. You're also sort of criticizing your family. You're sort of criticizing your mother. You're
also people's hero.
Yeah, right. Totally.
This is someone who's beloved by anyone who's a Chicago Bulls fan loves this guy.
Yeah, yeah. And and more than anything, it just sounds like she is probably tired of like the questions about her dad. Is your dad proud of you? And blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, yeah, I don't really know the guy like that or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I just credit her. She's obviously a young woman, becoming a global superstar in the world of soccer. And I think this is an important milestone for her, not just like doing the interview and just being like, yo, now everybody knows. Stop asking.
Stop. Yeah, leave it alone now.
But it's even for herself to be like, hey, this is the truth. This is the reality. Yeah. This is who my father is. This is my perception of him. And now that everybody knows, nobody has to like sort of kowtow and be like. Yeah.
Also, now when he shows up to a Washington Spirit game, the team knows to be like, hey, we're going to put you in the box where it has the tinted windows and you're not going to get to see Trinity. You know what I mean?
So credit to her. No, I know it's
very much so. I'm actually like from someone who we don't know her very well, but we interviewed her so long ago.
Yeah.
I'm really proud that she's gotten to this point where she can have this conversation.
Totally, totally. And yeah, you know, so yeah, good for her for like a ton of reasons. So, all right, let's get to our conversation. With Carling and talk about football and the art world and everything that she has going on. So we'll get to that right after this.
I mean, when does it end?
It does not. We get just the
we should put a revolving door on the front door at
only,
this point.
Only the most illustrious of guests.
Seriously, bro.
If
say.
You've got talent, please come do this show because we don't.
we need all the help we can get.
Yes.
But we are joined by an incredibly talented artist.
The athlete artist, might I add. And what actually brought this person to my attention was a beautiful painting of Emile Smith Rowe. And I was like, how do I
get a painting of myself?
How do I, one, get this painting in my house? And two, how do I Photoshop my face on a mushroom throne? But this is, I mean, beautiful. Once you see this, you start to see people that do something exceptional, but decide to do it in the world that we're in, right?
Right,
we're
right.
Comedians. We decided to start a podcast because we thought this will add some levity to soccer. This person is adding art into a world that's quite brutal, but has art in it. Carling Jackson, everybody.
Hey, Carling, what's up? Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, this is really cool. And I just want to make sure we thank you for bringing this artwork.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that if you're looking at this on YouTube or you're watching this,
it looks like a photo of your grandfather.
It looks like I'm like, there's a photo of just me and a family member. But no, this is an incredible painting of the legendary Pelé.
You know, so Christian gets this a lot. There's a lot of people that are somewhere like in between Latino or like some type of, you know, what is the Pacific Asian?
Okay, yeah.
African. There's a group of, there's a, like a whole, anything along the equator. Christian typically goes, oh, I thought you were that.
Yeah,
you know, so there's a lot of athletes. Like, what was it? Tiger Woods was a big one.
Tiger Woods. Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez.
Nani, the Portuguese player.
Nani, the Portuguese
player.
Brazilian. Portuguese.
He's Portuguese, yes. But this is incredible. And you do...
what I was going to say is you could just paint him and then put a different badge. And there's like 80 players you could say, look, I painted a picture of you.
No one be...
I don't think anyone would notice, bro.
Colorism. But,
so let's... getting into not just being an artist, but focusing on painting footballers. What's the origin story? How'd you get into it?
Ooh. This is a heartbreaker. You ready?
Oh
boy.
Yeah.
Hold on.
I actually started as a human rights artist.
Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. And the first painting I ever did, oil painting, was in 2014. And it was of Rodrigo Kelton. He was a murdered street child from Brazil, from Fortaleza in Brazil.
Wow.
I got chosen as a volunteer to work at the Street Child World Cup, which happens every 4 years ahead of the Men's World Cup in the same city.
And just, I don't mean to cut you off, but we met the Street Child United organization.
Nice.
We were at Soccer X.
At Soccer X.
And we were, everyone I met there were unbelievably kind.
Incredible.
And really nice. And I'm going to be staying in touch with them and hopefully, you know, either going to some of these events or working with them in some capacity in the future. They were very, very cool.
No, that's I know. When I found out about them, that's my three loves, right? Soccer, art, and human rights. So I, you know, was scheduled to go and I was teaching at the time. I was a teacher prior to being an artist and got an email from the Street Child World Cup saying the captain of Team Brazil, where it was hosted, was murdered on his 14th birthday. And I'm reading this email and tears are streaming down my face. And, you know, he was, you know, picked up off the streets at age 5. A lot of kids in Brazil, I think at the time, 18 are murdered every hour in 2014, 18 street children. And so he wanted to go home on his 14th birthday. He hadn't been home in like 10 years and he wanted to see his mom and a girl. And he was feet from his mom's doorstep and shot and then shot again. And his mom ran out and caught him. And his last words were, "Mama, please don't let me die."
Oh my goodness.
And
wow.
I at the same age, at 15, I almost died from a health condition, anaphylaxis, so allergies to food, and it almost took my life. And soccer saved my life. If I didn't have a field to go to, I was trying out for the team right below National at the time. And if I didn't have a field to go to in between hospital visits, I wouldn't be here with you guys today. So it weirdly, like, I connected to this child, this young boy, on a really deep level, and how the love for football, like, you know, motivated us to stay on the path, on the right path. And so I had this overwhelming feeling, kind of voice. I'm not a religious person, I'm a spiritual person, but it was like getting louder and louder. I was like, paint him, paint him, paint him.
Yeah.
And so I brought a wet oil painting about this big to the airport. I was a broke student teacher, and I took like 10 flights to get to Brazil. And I get to the airport, had to go through the U.S. The U.S. customs agent is like, what are you doing? You cannot bring a wet oil painting on, like, through customs on the plane. Now that I actually travel with Art, I'm like, wow, was I naive? And I ended up telling him the story, and he was from Chile, and he started crying, and he just went, shh. Keep going.
Wow.
And then I, on the first flight, the pilot was like, you know.
Yeah, where are we supposed to put this thing?
So he moved his luggage, stored the painting. Next flight attendants moved the luggage, their luggage, stored the painting. And then it created this movement. And I'm like, wait a second, there's something here, right? And this is when I learned about the power of art for social change. So I get to Brazil, and no one knows that I painted Rodrigo. They put it in the non-denominational chapel, which was on site, because we had 230 street children from 18 countries. And so the night Brazil gets there, these kids, I mean, they've never been on a plane. They've never been anywhere, right? Their stories are heartbreaking. And they arrive, we're cheering, we're going crazy. We're yelling, ole, 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 ole. And they walk past the chapel, and one of the kids saw Rodrigo through the, like, tiny slit. I don't even know how. There has to be some divine intervention there and this was another person explaining this to me, because I was somewhere else. And then they walk out as I walk by. And then we just stop, and there are tears streaming down their face. And I just do this, like, I'm the artist. And that moment, like, changed my life forever. And we don't speak the same language, but we spoke the same language. Yeah, so for the next three weeks, I was with Team Brazil. They brought the painting to lunch, to dinner, to bed, to breakfast. We went to this heartbreaking site called Candelaria, where in the 1990s, off-duty police officers would round up street children and execute them.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was how. And so in Candelaria in Rio de Janeiro, there were 9 street children who were sleeping, and they just shot them as they slept. So we visited Candelaria, and I went with Team Brazil, and we brought the painting and had, like, a moment and celebrated Rodrigo's life. But it was just like, okay, this is my origin story. This is what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Sure. No, I can see how that would be incredibly impactful.
Much more of a calling.
Yeah.
No, I want to make people laugh, you know? But it's crazy.
And it's interesting, even, I'm not being artists ourselves in our own capacity, but the community around the game is something that, you know, before we started, we really didn't even exactly know how interested or impactful we could even be with just providing humor with around this game. And it does build a community, but this is, art, it definitely has a much more direct influence and impact. And that kind of a story is just like, it's one of those things. Like, I remember when I first did stand up and I heard my first laugh after telling a joke where I said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
It's usually how it works.
And I sort of sense that with you as well.
Yeah, no, it was like, but then I was like, who wants to buy sad paintings? So I was like, okay, in honor of Rodrigo and these kids, I have to, like, I wanted to use my art to, you know, magnify, you know, their representation, to talk about injustice. And so I promised myself that I would do a few projects a year. So I've worked with War Child, Save the Children, World Vision. So every year I do a few projects with refugees, victims of child labor. And then I was like, how am I going to, you know, live, pay for this? Right. So I started painting what I know, athletes.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What made you make the decision for athletes?
Because I was looking, I'm like, okay, I love painting. I'm pretty good at it. I'm totally self-taught too. And not the self-taught who's like, I watched a bunch of YouTube videos. That's not real self-taught. I hate that. No, I mean, I'm real self-taught. I
mean, that's technically still self-taught.
No.
But you.
No. I'm for real self-taught. There's a whole hierarchy in the art world that I've learned about. It's really bad. They're like, you're a commercial artist. You didn't go to art school. I'm like, I make doctor money. Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
But I was like, what do I?
That's a flex.
What do I know? I know sports.
Yeah.
I'm an ex-athlete, former D1 soccer player. And so I looked, there was no woman painting sports. And it was kind of all old guys. And I'm like, okay, there's a place for me here. And so my first professional sports portrait was for Amir Johnson on the Toronto Raptors. Mm-hmm. The goal was to get to football, though, because I'm like, I could get back to what I love. All I got to go to the World Cup. I got to do stuff. And so Jonathan Mensah was my first soccer player, Black Stars, MLS. And he's an amazing human. I was like, okay, if I can paint a guy that everybody kind of knows internationally, hopefully it'll hook a few Premier League players. Then I got in the Premier League, and it was a wrap. I was like, going crazy. And when I painted for Emil a few years ago, this was a really cool story. He said, okay, I got the moment. Usually athletes will follow me and they'll be like, okay, I love your work, but I don't have the moment yet. Just give me time. I'm like,
got you.
Sometimes I'll even find the moment and then I'm like, this one, they'll be, bet, let's do it, you know? Yeah. And so I painted his first goal for Arsenal. Uh-huh. And I happened to be going to England like the week I finished it. I'm like, Emil, I'll just bring him with me. He's like, okay. So we get to his house and bring the painting in. And he starts to get kind of emotional. And he goes, I didn't tell you this, but you painted the best moment of my life.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Emil, come back to Arsenal.
Yeah. I know. Wait,
I miss you, dog.
Right?
Your colleague is going to make me cry, bro. I'm an Everton fan, too. This is crazy.
He got no skin in the game. But does, I got nothing but skin in the game.
When you are painting players, does the gate agent... and when you know you have the wet oil paint, are they
if customs agent was a Tottenham fan, you might not get through.
You know what happens though? FedEx is my shipper, and I have my own manager because of my clientele. Yeah. They actually just did a feature story on our relationship. She's awesome. And she's like for some reason in some countries in Europe, because they ship everywhere, they won't deliver to the person's house. So then I have to say who it is. They're like, we got it. Done. It's there. Don't worry about it. They'll be like, you have to pick it up here. I say who it is. They're like, no, we got you.
Wait, they won't deliver to the person's house.
It's weird. I don't know. Yeah.
How's that? That's what delivery is.
No, I know, but like there's a, I don't know how it works, but in some countries it's just, you know.
I never think you'd have
like
to do
that.
There's
like a depot you have to pick it up at.
Do you know who I am to the U.S. Postal Service?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
No, this is, this is really cool. And I'm sure.
But do they order this? Like, did Emil order this? Like the size and everything?
Yeah, so I only work for athletes. So that's why I'm the athlete artist. I'm an ex-athlete. I paint athletes for athletes. So it's a triple entendre. So I don't usually work with agents too. I prefer to work directly with athletes. So right now at the moment, I'm working on 10 portraits for NFL, MLB, MLS. We got Edward Mendy painting for him in Saudi Arabia, like everybody. So
yeah, that's wild.
No, I mean, so in general, I mean, I'm sure you get this question a lot, but like, what are some of the more notable ones where you were like, I can't believe I'm painting this person.
Or I can't believe this person hit me up and wants me to paint them.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one I can't say right now because it's going to be delivered soon, but it's a quarterback in the NFL and his agency ordered it and it's really sweet.
Okay.
Are you going to ship it directly to his Mahomes?
I mean, Not him.
Okay. I'm going to paint Aaron Rodgers getting the vaccine.
It's just a blank canvas.
It's inspiring me right now. Yeah.
I would say the portrait I did for Adidas, I painted the World Cup family portrait for Adidas in their family reunion commercial, if you guys saw that. It was the most watched commercial in Adidas history, 2.7 billion.
Viewers. I don't know if I saw it. Maybe I'm not remembering
it's
it.
I think up a little.
Is it? We'll look for it. But this is a, that's pretty cool. I mean, you went to the last World Cup or?
Yeah, I painted at it. I got to paint in Qatar, which was absolutely insane.
And what does that entail? They'll tell you what to paint or do you get sort of creative freedom?
So this is wild. The World Cup has never done anything like live painting before.
Yeah.
And so Qatar, I had been battling with them for years. I'm like, guys, I got to come. I got to do this. I was just determined. And then like 10 days before the semis, they're like, can you paint people like live? Like how fast can you paint? So I developed this new speed painting technique to do in stadiums and outside stadiums.
Self-taught?
Yeah.
Okay.
You didn't see one video?
And they were like, you know, okay, we'll test it out. So I did a semifinal, the first semifinal, and they're like, can I swear on you?
Yeah, of course.
They're like, oh shit, you're good at this. Do you want to do the fight? And I was like, do you want to do the next semifinal, like France, Morocco, you know? And then I was like, what? And so I painted Ashraf Hakimi and Mbappe for that semifinal. And I know Ashraf, so I was texting him. I'm like, bro, I'm outside painting you. And it was insane. It was
just so cool.
I had like 2,000 fans taking photos of it, asking questions. I was on such a high. I got to go to a World Cup, which was my dream, but in a completely different capacity. And I'm the first artist in history to paint a World Cup. As a woman, this is like, you have no idea that what I deal with. Like, you probably have a general idea, but it can be a nightmare.
Okay. Yeah, I can imagine there's a lot of hurdles.
I'm sure the comment section is lovely. And a lot of
super respectful people.
We work in comedy. We have a lot of obviously female comedian friends, and the comment sections of their posts are absurd. So.
Can you give me an insight into what makes speed painting happen? How does that?
Yeah, so there's three main mediums of paints, kind of watercolor, oil, and acrylic. Yeah. Oil takes forever to dry, as we know with Rodrigo's wet painting that it took. Acrylic dries in like 5 minutes. And so I developed a technique where I paint the faces quick with acrylic, let it dry, and then overlay with oil. So you get that kind of depth and dimension in like 3 hours, which is insane. Other artists are like, you're crazy.
Right.
I'm like, I know.
Wow, that's dope.
Yeah.
No, that's incredible. I mean, and was this also a speed painting thing as well that we're looking at right now?
Where I just tried to paint a player off of each team kind of thing. And they just loved it. The fans ate it up at the World Cup. So.
Right.
No, this is remarkable.
Oh, so you're really good at painting fades. That's crazy. It's hard to paint a fade. I could see it.
Yeah, Carlin, you want to be my barber? Yeah. I think you can do a good job too.
can you do speed painting?
The one thing that's interesting is you saying about how, they asked you, can you paint live but people can see your work, and they say, it's always interesting when they invite you somewhere and they see you actually working, and then they're like, hey, you're really good.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I got like a decade of work.
Right.
Have you not looked
at my portfolio?
You could have just seen my, that tends to happen with us from time to time where people know we're stand-up comedians, and then until they actually see us perform, they're like, oh, you guys are actually funny. And it's like, well, you hear all the jokes online.
Yeah.
Why would you think we were not?
We emceed the Premier League Fan Fest. That was like one of the first things where like a lot of Premier League players that were around or former Premier League players like heard from us other than clips they've seen. And people come up to us and go, wow, you guys are actually like really funny. It's like, how did you think we got this gig? Like, how do you think we've been around for so long?
Or
we get the, wow, you're real comedians. Yeah.
My equivalent would be like, do you do art for promotion? I'm like, excuse me?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
I did a piece for Jamie Foxx and you want a free painting? Like,
yeah, of course. Gosh.
You don't want the publicity, Carling?
No, right?
But look, you were at the Olympics as well.
Yes, I was Team USA's artist.
So this
beautiful.
Is, your resume is
stealing
crazy.
The Canadian artist. Let's go.
But you were watching a video of you. Is this giving a painting? Or?
So I brought these prints of Muhammad Ali, who's my favorite athlete of all time. And I saw Flavor Flav, and I was like, oh, just give him one. And then he went crazy and called one of Muhammad Ali's daughters, and we had a moment.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's amazing. Dude,
I mean, how do you not just weep and cry at all
these? He got really emotional.
Yeah, this is so cool.
Have you ever been to Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville?
I have. I'm doing something with them.
I just went for the first time.
Isn't it unreal?
It legitimately changes your life.
I know.
If it doesn't, you didn't pay attention.
And he was an artist, and his dad was an artist.
Come on, the red bike?
Yeah. Oh, no, I know, right?
Stop it. This is the most Flavor Flav moment.
This is big unk energy in Flavor Flav. Like, hey, I just ran into a lady that just took a painting of your father.
Steve says he knows you.
Nah, this is so cool. I mean, I'm sure you have dozens of these moments. Are there any more in particular that really?
Or like, what's like the coolest person you've met because of your art?
Jamie Foxx.
Jamie Foxx. Yeah, that's
he has a new show coming out December 10th. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
He told me I could see the background of it. It's pretty crazy. But he is the most creative person I have ever met in my life. Like, he sang, created a song, did a comedy sit, and acted out an entire movie when I was at his house for one day. And I literally was just awed. And I'm around crazy amount of creative people, and I was completely blown away.
No, I mean, Jamie Foxx, and we've seen this throughout the years, as someone who I think doesn't necessarily get the flowers that he deserves, because I was introduced to him through In Living Color and in comedy.
Comedy was how I first knew of him.
Exactly. And then when he's singing, and then and as a musician, he's an unbelievably talented musician that barely anybody ever really talks about, and who's had like real hits And just to be, it's annoying that somebody is that good at so many things and at such a high level. So that's a really cool.
And he still looks so young.
Oh, I know. I was shocked. You want to know, do you guys know how he started doing comedy?
How?
This is such a cool story. So he was in grade school, and I think it was grade three he started. His grandma was a teacher, and so he grew up, and he's like visceral for knowledge. Like, he knows, he just soaks it up. So he kind of knew everything in school. He was bored all the time and kind of messed around. And so his teacher was like, Jamie. And he's like, okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal. I'm going to help you with all the kids. I'm going to be your kind of assistant in class if you let me do stand-up comedy every Friday. The last 15 minutes of class. And she said, deal. And that's how he started. And I thought that was beautiful.
There's like three or four comedians that started this way. I got hit in school.
You can't. You know? Jokes? It's not. It wasn't a space to just have fun and make jokes or make fun of people.
No.
So that's pretty remarkable.
Well, I'm so glad that they got that opportunity.
Yeah. I was terrified to do comedy before I did. Like, it took years of just convincing myself to even try it. So
I was always the one trying to get jokes off in class. That was me all day. I was never encouraged.
Yeah. I was very much
discouraged.
I made the jokes as well, but I did not. I got to get on stage.
I'd get in trouble too. I'd say things loud, like good callbacks and stuff that happened before. And she'd just be like, you're not helping. You know? Maybe that's what I was missing. He said I'd help the kids.
Well, look, it worked out.
It all worked out. Yeah, me and Jamie, we're equals.
No, this is cool. I mean, look, just scrolling through your Instagram is just...
Well, you scroll through that.
You see the Olympics moment there? The Woodhalls?
Right there? Oh, right here?
Yeah. That, you guys know this moment, right? Where Tara won the gold and she ran to Hunter. So I really wanted to paint this for them, but I didn't know them personally. So I just like looked through my following list. I'm like, okay, mutual. Ask them if they want a painting. And they're like, yes. And so I painted this. And I'm painting Noah Lyles right now too. His moment when he won 100 meters. So that was really cool after being Team USA's artist. So
I'm gonna start DMing random athletes and being like, yo, you want me to write some roast jokes about you?
Or be like, you want me to get Carling to make a painting for you?
No, this is really, really cool. I mean, and I really appreciate not only the, obviously, your incredible work, but the stories behind them and really the thing that propelled you to become an artist in this particular way is, I think, is very, very impactful and emotional and sincere. So no, this is like a really cool thing. I really appreciate you coming by and talking a little bit about it.
Before we let you go though, like, what's the one dream get?
The dream get?
Yeah.
The World Cup and the Olympics were on my list, but I already did those in the first like 10 years of painting. So that's pretty crazy. So my next one, it's kind of like an overarching goal. So I want to legitimize sports art in the art world, because right now, if you go into most galleries, they'll just laugh at you. Whereas when you look at that, I'm using Renaissance techniques that I taught myself reading the old journals of master artists.
Right. Reading, not watching.
Yeah, to replicate, you know, like, I want to bring, legitimize sports art.
Can you give me like an idea of what a Renaissance technique is?
So if you look, you see in the light, you start with it's called fat to lean. So you start with...
So Alexis the Christian.
You start with like a heavy oil base with oil paint, and then you layer thinner and thinner and thinner and thinner layers. That's why they say when you go see the Mona Lisa, it feels like she's following you. It's because the light pierces through the layers and you get this extreme depth. No one really does that with sports art.
I thought she was following me because she liked what she saw.
Damn. I see that smirk, girl.
So I'm doing it. Actually, my first museum, the Paris Art Museum, for the World Cup. And hey. I'm working with Pelé's family and Therese Tran. And we're going to do, I'm going to paint 7 to 8 of the best footballers in history. And it's going to be called The Beautiful Game. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I love
it. That's a huge breakthrough like in the art world for me. So,
well, congratulations. Yeah. I mean, obviously well deserved. No, this is incredible.
It's huge.
Yeah. So
I can't believe we get to have this on our show.
And Brazil just got one of my paintings.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Damn.
I painted Bobby Moore and Pelé, and it was in a little sports gallery, like makeshift gallery in Miami, pop-up gallery. And they invited the ambassadors from like Argentina, Brazil, et cetera. And they're like, can we have this one? And that's like a huge honor. So yeah, it's going to be in the embassy in Brazil.
That's so cool.
I mean, your contact list it's not only crazy. Just athletes, but it's like politicians.
Yeah, do you want to be our show booker by any chance?
You know some people.
We'll have the premiere of China and then we'll have Flavor Flav on the show.
Call Ashraf Hakimi right now.
Yo, FaceTime. What's that video?
Just the way Favorite Flav called one of Muhammad Ali's daughters.
Oh, I know all of them too.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Okay, cool. Well, all right.
Damn.
We'll be reaching out soon. Carling, where can people follow you on Instagram?
Yeah, Instagram's my main platform.
Carling Jackson, at Carling Jackson Art. Go show
some
love.
We are already following her. I don't know why our website does this.
This is always this is like a weird glitch on the browser on Instagram. We follow you already, and it says that we have this embarrassing moment every time with every guest that we have.
People will comment sometimes like, why aren't you following us? You're on your show. We're like, we are.
Look, we're on there. Anyway, so go follow.
Gaslighting.
Carling Jackson Art to see some of the rest of her incredible work. Carling, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
This is huge. Yeah. Oh, what a great interview, huh?
Shout out to Carling. Really, really dope.
She's a sweetheart. And if you are just listening, please go check out her Instagram because she is makes some beautiful art.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that was a lot of fun. You know what else is fun? A little rápido reactions.
Let's go. They're going to be muy rápido today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We don't got a lot of time. So, Carter, hit us. What you got now for number one?
All right, your first one, Marta winning the Marta Award. Your reaction.
Bro, if Marta would have lost the Marta Award, that would have been wild disrespectful.
This is this is fun, but I'm gonna suggest there's a little bit of controversy because the Marta Award is basically the Puskás, the female Puskás Award, and it's the first time it is named this. And I didn't think Marta's goal was that great.
Okay, I'm gonna do this. Why you hate this storyline, bro?
I understand.
You can't take this away from her. It's called the Marta Award. I don't care if she scored it off the back of her head while laying on the ground.
But even if she didn't win it, you still can't take it away from her because the award is named after her.
She deserved to win it. I don't care. I honestly don't care.
Go on TikTok. Go look at...
I don't care if one of the drones flying over New Jersey helped her score that goal.
Look, it wasn't a bad goal.
I don't care.
But it was...
I don't care.
It was a fine goal. I mean, a step over against Jamaica.
I don't care.
And
it's called the Marta Award.
Left-footed shot.
Marta can't sit there while someone else wins the Marta Award. The first year, it's called the Marta Award.
Paulina... Crumb Beagle, I think should have won.
Bro, go get an everything bagel. You didn't win.
Look at this goal.
It's not called the Crumb Bagel, bro. It's called the Marta. You got more time. She's about to go. She's a pillar of the women's game. For you, you get that. Stop showing other stuff. You're rude. Mr. Stop the Steal over here.
Paulina got robbed is all
Damn.
I'm saying. All right, what's up next?
All right, next year, speaking of awards, Vinicius wins FIFA's best player. Your thoughts?
Well, you think Marta should have won this one?
Marta should have won the FIFA best. No, this is a an interesting. So
Fan vote was a big portion of the reason why.
Maybe this is like a bigger conversation about the Ballon d'Or and
FIFA
Best.
No, we got 78 seconds left. Go ahead.
I'm just saying, it's just like how many awards they have. They already win things.
Do you know who's the Ballon d'Or? Who gives the Ballon d'Or out?
France.
It's like a French like a journalist,
a high society.
Yeah,
thing.
We don't care about y'all, dog.
So
FIFA should be the one giving out these awards. So I'm cool with best.
The people who vote for the FIFA best awards are players,
national team captains,
coaches,
right?
Yeah, players, coaches, and fans.
And fans. And I think there was a little bit of overcorrection from the fans, because they feel he deserved
players,
it.
The players voted for Vinny Rodri. Players voted for Vinny for the best player and fans. That's how he won this award.
So
coaches, though. The coaches voted for Rodri.
Who, Pep, who's busy putting calamine lotion on his face? I don't care, dog. Vinny, congratulations. He deserved some award for the last year.
Yeah, without a doubt. So I just think that
and Aitana Bonmatí won everything.
I'm saying Vinny is for the cult. The culture is saying, yo, Vinny's the best player.
Streets are saying Vinny.
Exactly. But
the boardroom wants Rodri, bro.
Wants Rodri. And that's where the kind of disconnect is. And that's why I think a lot of people were upset. And it led to all the other controversy around Vinny. So, yeah. All right. What's next?
All right. Next year, Mykhailo Mudryk. Was just tested positive for a performance enhancing drug.
Well,
your thoughts?
As, okay.
A banned substance.
Because, hey, I mean, we've seen his performances. They're not enhanced. In
one way. If anything, maybe get more of that in you, buddy. For Chelsea fans, are like, whatever that was, give him a vibe. Get the Costco size of whatever it is you got. So it's a banned substance.
The substance specifically was reported in The Athletic by Simon Johnson and Adam Kraft. And they said that it was meldonium.
Right.
Which
is found in the Black Panther film. right?
That's exactly it.
Wakanda. It says
meldonium is an anti-ischemia medication, which, according to USADA, is typically used clinically to treat those suffering from heart conditions such as low blood flow to the heart and angina.
Oh, damn. Angina. Never mind. I thought it said something. I was like, bro,
why
is it so cold, girl? You ain't got no blood flowing down there?
For athletes, it can assist with endurance and capacity to recover from exercise. And that's the thing. Mudrik is not even getting enough minutes. So what is he recovering from exactly?
Nah, his angina needs that blood flow.
Okay, you look a little pale down
damn,
there.
Damn, son, what's happening? That's gotta hurt if you get kicked there.
No, I think the main thing here is I think
England and Europe maybe takes some of these substances a little too serious. And I think I've always been a fan of, if you're using it to recover, not make yourself bigger, stronger, faster.
Sure.
If you're using it simply to recover from a really hellish schedule, I can't really hold it against you.
He might be banned for quite a long time. 4 years, you saw what happened to Pogba. Damn. And then, so that might get dropped down with an appeal, but.
Bro, put a lawsuit on your brothers, just like Paul Pogba. You'll be all right.
Okay.
This just came out a couple days ago. Dani Olmo may be forced to be sold by Barcelona because of their financial issues. Your thoughts?
Yo, they can't register my guy, bro. You know what this reminds me of? Like, you ever see those like game shows where they're like, you get a car and you get a car. And then you're like, oh yeah, you owe the government $12,000 for this car. And it's like, if you ain't got it, you're like, I didn't get a car. I didn't get nothing. I got to sell this thing. I think they should sell or loan out Dani Olmo.
I mean, they shouldn't, in my opinion, but if you can't register him, what do you want to do?
Have him sit on the bench?
It's embarrassing that this is, again, we're sort of dealing with.
Didn't it feel like we got over it because they had such a strong start to the season?
Right, but it's just, this kind of situation is such a kind of systemic problem that highlights how kind of poorly the finances are managed at Barcelona. And they're rebuilding the stadium, the Camp Nou, they're doing all this other stuff. I think it's just even more embarrassing that they have these issues. And imagine you're signing and then you're playing for the club 6 months and then they're forced to sell you or whatever. I've also heard that Julian Araujo and Frankie de Jong, they're basically forcing them, be like, yo, you need to renegotiate your contract or you need to extend so we can figure out what you're going to be paid so that we can sort out everything kind of with our players. But then Barcelona has all these issues and Real Madrid is just, they're bringing Mbappe. They're like, hey.
Bro, they kicked up. It's like your boy who bought Dogecoin right now. You know what I'm talking about? He's pulling up in a new whip. You're like, what the hell?
Yeah, why didn't you get in on Ethereum when I said?
How come inflation ain't hitting you? Joao Laporta is like, bro, eggs are expensive, but you in a new whip?
Dude, all right, what's next?
All right, last one here. Choupo-Moting is reportedly joining Red Bulls. Your thoughts?
This is,
Do you think this is a big deal?
It's a big deal in that this seems like a horrible mistake.
For
Red Bulls. Okay. Why would he's a DP.
I don't think you've considered something. Is Choupo-Moting, Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting, leaving a family without telling them? Because that's why you go to Red Bulls,
you,
right?
But yeah, you basically go to escape your family.
Yeah.
But a DP contract for a player who is how old?
34, 33?
35.
35.
35 years old. And look, we saw what he did for Bayern. And wherever he's been, he's definitely shown up. But I can't imagine Rebel fans being excited about 35-year-old DP.
Mm-mm.
This is crazy.
This ain't the guy you want. Also, that's a young team running around you. And now you got this old man being like, could you guys slow down a little bit?
No, I mean, could it work? Sure. I mean, what Rebels kind of find a way to figure
Here's
it out.
Here's the positive, though. Rebels seems to be investing in New York Red Bull, right? Klopp is like helping out a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe that's a positive sign. Probably not the guy you want. You're a Rebel fan.
This seems like such a bad move. I mean, maybe it'll work out, but I don't know exactly what he's being paid. a DB contract seems crazy for a 35-year-old.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Is this whatever? Okay, we ran out of time. Very confusing.
I don't get it.
He played for Stoke.
I mean, you got to get the whole Stoke. You know, you get that kind of pedigree.
Shea. Get Brett Shea next. What else we got?
Is that it?
Hey, that's it. That was your Rapido Reaction.
Rapido Reaction. So shout out to producer Carter for bringing those to us. All right. Let's wrap up the show here. Mm-hmm. This is our last episode before Christmas. We won't be doing an episode on Monday. We'll be back on December 27th with some reactions to the holiday fixture matches, Boxing Day, and all that stuff. So make sure you tune into that. If you know, maybe you didn't get the gifts that you really wanted, and now maybe you want to sulk and be sad. Mm. You need to be cheered up a little bit. That's what the Cooligans are here
That's
for.
That's why we right here.
So,
bro.
So thank you everybody for tuning in. We'll obviously, hopefully, have a good holiday. If you celebrate Christmas, enjoy it as
or just maybe you get some time off and you don't celebrate nothing. Hey, take that time off for yourself.
Atheist, yo, this is the time for yourself. Yeah,
don't you do by yourself again? I like that. Okay. I like that.
All right, to all the my non-believers right? out there.
You light up a small bush in your apartment just for the vibes.
Can we start an atheist mega church? Why don't they have those? No,
I like how you went straight to mega church. My guy's trying to avoid taxes. The Lord that I don't believe in wants me to have this private jet.
Okay. I need to wear the most elaborate suits.
Oh, you
ornate
know me.
Garments.
Bro, I'm telling you right now, if we start a mega church, all silk distributors are on notice. Okay. I will be wearing the funkiest of materials.
We'll pay all the tariffs.
Yeah.
We don't care.
The tariffs? What you think these people are here for? Tithing, my G. Give me 10% of your income. We don't pay taxes, bro. Shouts to no taxes if you will run a mega church. Bro.
I mean, they do abuse it. That's
literally everything we just mentioned. You think the silk is what's the silk coming from? Okay. Money we should have been given to the government.
You need to launder money. We got a religion for you.
Yo. only storefronts.
So thank you again. Yeah, have a great holiday. Thank you everybody for hanging out with us. It's gonna be one more episode in the new year. So until the new year. So we'll say our thank yous and what we're grateful for. Mm. On our next episode.
Oh, and maybe we'll do some New Year's resolutions.
Oh, maybe. I mean, Alexis has never stuck to one in his life.
That's not true. Mine was to gain weight. Look what happened. I'm committed.
Not committed. Whoa, 3 years in a row?
Damn, yo,
bro,
18 years in a row. Actually.
Good for you. So make sure you follow us everywhere, especially on Blue Sky. Blue Sky's blowing up. We're having a good time there. At soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky, and follow us everywhere else at soccercooligans. We will be back, yes, like I said, on Friday, December 27th. But have a good weekend. Have a good Christmas. Have a good holiday. And we'll see you then. Take care, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.